by the new and living way.
Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is lesson 4 in our series of understanding everlasting life. Let's say amen. Reading from our memory track. By God's grace, in our last lesson under this series, we saw that God's plan for man before the foundation of the world is to give man eternal life. And this has not changed, even today. Amen. We also looked at the fact that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Let's say amen. We also looked into scriptural patterns to show the difference that doth exist between eternal life and everlasting life, thereby establishing that Adam and his wife, Eve, were created everlasting persons. It was also emphasized that the tree of life in the midst of the garden had eternal life in its fruit, which was a life greater than everlasting life that was already in Adam and his wife. Today we trust God for grace to answer another question, particularly the question around the heart disposition that a saint should have towards, you know, having access into everlasting life. Let's say amen. So our topic for today's lesson is the right heart disposition towards learning everlasting life. Let's say amen. Can we say it together? Let's read the topic together. One, two, go. Thank you. Praise God. So our scriptures texts are taken from Hebrews 5, 11, 12, Hebrews 6, 1, 2, Hebrews 10, 39. So the question that this particular person, what we've done the last 3 weeks is answering one question. It's a question that was sent in by probably you, you know, if you are the specific person, one of our brethren, that the last three lessons have been centered around. The burden pastor asks is that we'll begin by approaching it, you know, from the point of view of handling questions that different people might have or do have around the subject of everlasting life. The last 2 years from different ends in our parent ministry, EGFM, major meetings, conventions, anamnesis, and, you know, conferences like Writing Division, Canada SOS, UK convention. Everlasting life has been taught in different strengths, is being taught. But for the purpose of, you know, it's been driven home for us as members of the New and Living Way, Pastor said we should forward our questions, that we will start from the end of answering questions, you know, at the beginning of understanding this series, Everlasting Life, to when, you know, the Lord would, you know, as the Lord would lead Pastor, we'll get down to the doctrine explanation. But even in answering questions, the doctrine is being explained a little here, a little there. Let's say amen. So this is the second question in the series of questions that we are answering. And the person, we rephrase the question. The question the person asked is, you know, I paraphrase, how do I know if I have entered everlasting life? You understand? When I have not finished Christ. That's the exact question the person asked. The person asked, if I have not finished Christ, and now
we are in the seasons of everlasting life. How am I sure I will enter? Because I am yet to finish one, and you know, another emphasis is being taught. So for the purpose of wholesomeness, we rephrase the question, you know, for one who has not finished learning Christ in a time where everlasting life is being taught, what is the right heart disposition such a person should have towards the knowledge or teaching of everlasting life? So that question, peradventure you are the one who asked it, was rephrased so that it will fit into the teaching mold of Sunday school. Let's say amen. In answering this question, it's good to know and note the following. A. Scripture speaks of growing up from one realm of understanding of life to another, that is, from the milk to the meat, or the doctrine of Christ, and from the Christ doctrine or the meat doctrine to the strong meat teaching, or the teaching of the name of the Father, or the teaching of everlasting life. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So in answering that question, we give some things that we should know and note that we felt in the Sunday school department would be of help to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 1 and 2, Paul speaking. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Let me read verse 3. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So for us to, you know, answer this question, we want to give a background that there are levels of growth that the scripture speaks of. Let's say amen. The scripture speaks of babies. The scripture speaks of those who are, you know, young men, as it were, in the spirit. Then the scripture speaks of those who are elderly in the spirit. Let's say amen. Now, the sense in which the scripture speaks of these levels of growth is in a general sense. Now, if you remember, Daddy is teaching from the book of 1 John, chapter 2, from verses 12 to 13, where John talked about three levels of growth: little children, young men, and fathers. Those three dimensions of growth that John was talking about are in everlasting life. Those are three areas that seem foggy and can be confusing. Those three dimensions, little children, young men, and fathers, are not the same as babes, man, and father. Babes, like 1 Corinthians chapter 3 here talks about, he said, and I, brethren, when I came unto you, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So a carnal believer is a babe. Let's say amen. Still that's in 1 Corinthians. Can you turn to chapter 13 of that 1 Corinthians? Chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. If you're there, say amen. Can we read together? Verse 11. 1, 2, go. Now, the subject of discussion from chapter 12 of this 1 Corinthians to chapter 13 are the issues of children and man. In chapter 12, from verses 1, he began saying, concerning spiritual brethren, I would not have you ignorant. The things that he spoke of in chapter 12, the things around the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit that manifests the gift, and, you know, ministry gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, apostle, prophets, teachers, miracles, healing, helps, government, tongues, interpretation of tongues, they are ministry gifts. And both gifts of the Spirit and ministry gifts cannot make a person spiritual. Now, can you give me chapter 12, verse 1? Chapter 12, verse 1. The church in Port Harcourt, they are taking a series that is concerning spiritual. That's the series they are taking presently. And it's being worked on from the Sunday School Department, you know, both here and there, collaboration of Port Harcourt and Lagos Sunday School Department. And, you know, it's been enlightening. Pastor Timmy, Pastor AK, myself, you know, I read through the whole thing when it's done. You know, so this particular place, you know, blessed me. He said, now concerning spiritual, the gifts is in italics. So he's not necessarily talking about gifts, because if you check from, you know, verses 12 downwards, you know, to 13, the whole concept of what he wants to talk about are three things. He talked about gifts of the Spirit. He talked about ministry gifts or graces. That's ministry office, which he spoke of from 28 to 30. Then in chapter 13, he talked about the nature of a spiritual man. So he said concerning spiritual. So what he wants to talk about are things that concerns spiritual. Now, a person who is newly born again, who the Spirit of God can choose to rest upon him, to manifest maybe a few of the gifts of the Spirit, or probably all the 9 gifts of the Spirit, with some degree of milk. Now, when that happens, it does not mean that person is spiritual. Because in chapter 13, verses 1, 2, 3, he now began to say things. He said, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am nothing. Verse 2 of this chapter 13. And though I have the gift of prophecy, is one of the gifts of the Spirit, and understand all mysteries. You understand? You know, and all knowledge as a minister. Because he talked about both gifts of the Spirit from verses 7 to 11 of chapter 12. Then from verses 12 to 30 of chapter 12, he talked about ministry gifts. 7 to 11, he talked about gifts of the Spirit. Verses 12 to 30 in chapter 12, he talked about ministry gifts, apostles, prophets, teachers, you know, gifts of healing, working of miracles, helps, governments, diverse tongues, interpretation. So the whole of chapter 12, he was majoring on both gifts of the Spirit, 9 gifts of the Spirit, and ministry gifts. And those two things can rest on a baby. Now, you've heard it many times. It's possible for a person to be a minister, but a baby minister, or a minister among babes. A person can be an apostle and yet not a spiritual man. Let's say amen. A person can be a pastor. A person can be a prophet. A person can be a teacher. A person can be an evangelist and not be spiritual and be carnal. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul talked about ministers who mind earthly things, whose God is their belly, who glory in their shame, whose end is destruction. So in chapter 12, you know, Paul was talking about babes, allocation of spirituality that can come to a baby. Gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost can manifest it on a baby. In Acts chapter 2, the day they were born again, they were born again in their spirit, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and spake with tongues with their spirit, but the gift of diverse tongues rested upon them, and they all spoke with diverse tongues, languages that other people could understand. So the day a person is born again, if the Spirit of God wills, on that same day, he can manifest the gift of the Spirit on them. It happened again in Acts chapter 19. Paul got some people born again in the upper coast of Ephesus. while they were born again, Paul laid hands on them to be filled with the Spirit. And Bible said in verse 6 of chapter 19 of Acts, he said, they spake with tongues, which is the normal thing you will do when, you know, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. He now said, and prophesied. That's a gift of the Spirit. So I don't have to be very spiritual for the gift of the Spirit to rest on me. It's just all I need to be born again. So, you know, a person who uses the gift of the Spirit is not necessarily a spiritual person. Now, where we become spiritual is not in our spirit. Our spirit is life. Our spirit cannot be any more spiritual than it is. It's spirit, it's life. But spirituality is measured out on the basis of what happens in our soul. And the day we got born again, our spirit that is recreated as our soul, that is, Pastor Michael, that will say, the soul is a vessel, is an organ of the Spirit. So the Spirit now, who is a new man, you understand, you know, the gift of the Spirit can rest on the body because they come on the body, they can walk with the Spirit, but they rest from without because they are gift upon, and I can use it. Using it does not make me spiritual. The same thing with ministry gift. Though ministry gift cannot be compared in the same sense with gift of the Spirit, the Lord has to lead a minister to put gift in them. Ministry gifts are both within and upon operations. The Lord will lead people. Ephesians chapter 4, you understand, in verse 7 and verse downwards, he said, those whom, you know, he led captivity captive and gave gift to men. Those whom he led are those whom he gave gifts to the church. So every minister that we ever become a minister, truly the one the Lord raises, must have been dealt with. That's why somebody doesn't get born again last month and is a minister this month. Because the Lord must lead him through a path in a measure. And the Lord led people who are ministers amongst children. Like in Acts chapter 2, chapter 3, the Lord raised the 12 apostles. They were more than milk, but that was where they began from. Wherein they could teach the apostles' doctrine. They were ministers. They've been with Jesus for 3.5 years. Let's say amen. So Paul, in the whole of chapter 12, explained both gifts of the Spirit and offices that a child can bear. It might seem too difficult in some quarters that a person can be an apostle and be a child. That you can't be, as long as you are an apostle, you are mighty in a regard. But the yardstick of judging spirituality is not, because later on he went in that same chapter 13, you know, he said, if I give my body to be burned, those are, you understand, or, you know, if, you know, in Romans 12, if I have ministry of giving or helps, in that First Corinthians 12, 28, I can do that as a minister because it's a ministry, but yet I am still carnal if I don't have charity. So in chapter 13, verse 11, he now said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. He said, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Because all he's been talking about from chapter 12 to 13 is childhood and manhood. A man is the one who has used faith, hope, and charity. Who has an abiding nature. He might never have prophesied. He might never be a minister. But the fact that if you check it, he has used faith, he has used hope, which is the doctrine of Christ, and he is now demonstrating charity. He can suffer long, he believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, seeketh not our own. All of those natures are what makes a man. So, you know, from our manual, it's good to know that scripture speaks of different realms of growth. So why daddy is teaching from in church on Sunday, 1 John chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, that daddy is teaching from, talked about three levels of growth. He talked about little children, young men, and fathers. Now, little children, young men, and fathers are in the realm of everlasting life. It's different from babies that Paul spoke of. How many of you is clear to? If it's clear, let me see your hand. Now, you need to know those landmarks. So when Bible talks about babies, it's not talking about little children. Babies are those who use milk. After you are a babe, then you now come and learn the doctrine of Christ. But, you understand, after you learn the doctrine of Christ, then you now begin to learn the things of the Father. In the realm of the Father, there are three dimensions. Little children, young men, and fathers. Let's say amen. So it's good to know that our growths are in levels, they are in measures. Let's say amen. So there is milk, there is meat, and there is strong meat. Milk makes for babes. That's what they give a baby. A baby takes milk to make him grow from just being a baby to being a healthy child. So Paul said, when I was a child, a baby takes milk to become a child. A baby is the one that were just born as newborn babes. Then when a baby takes milk very well, it becomes a healthy child. A healthy, well-fed baby becomes a child. And that the ego can say you can be a child, they're using Jesus' life. That Jesus was a child till 12. They measured childhood till 12 years old. Yeah? And the child grew in wisdom. They didn't say, babe. No, the child grew. A baby might not know wisdom. You might begin to give him milk. Then at some point, he begins to come out of babyhood and begin to come into the realm of childhood. And he can learn be in that realm of childhood until he becomes a full-blown child. A full-blown child is the one that is ready for the meat of the gospel. And a child who is healthy, strong enough for the meat of the gospel, what they give him when he is ready is they give him Christ. Let's say amen. Just like the realm of the Father has three dimensions, little children, young men, and fathers, the realm of Christ also has three dimensions, faith, hope, and charity. Let's say amen. The faith dimension begins to open the eyes. The hope dimension purifies the heart. The charity dimension stretches us and makes us ready. You understand? You know, first of all, it makes us the peak of a spiritual man. Then it makes us ready for the next allocation. Let's say amen. So we fail to stress that in the, for a person, you know, in answering this question, this needs to be laid as a background. B, spiritual growth for a Christian is first of all a soul thing. Let's say amen. Can we say it's a soul thing? It is in and with our souls that we grow spiritually, not our spirits. Growth for a believer is measured and based on the conversation of the thoughts of the soul in line with the gospel and obedience to the instructions of the Holy Spirit as a result of the gospel. Such a believer to the obedience of to the instruction of the Holy Spirit as a result of the gospel that such a believer has heard. Let's say amen. Meaning spiritual growth is something that occurs in our soul. You know, some people, you understand, you know, for maybe inaccurate doctrine, who always want to tell you, you know, particularly when they are new Christian realities to the extreme, who want to fight against, they want to tell you we are perfect, we are made. And when they get to scriptures like 1 Corinthians 3 that talked about people being carnal, they now try to manhandle the scriptures. It's like they wrangle the scriptures because they don't want to be sincere. But our spirit is life. Our spirit is Christ. But in our soul, at the moment we are born again, we are all babies. Even Paul said, "Doth not even nature teach?" Nature teaches it. And the perfect example for us to see was our Lord. They gave birth to him. The way he grew was a prophetic script for us to see both what will happen in our spirit, our soul, our bodies. So there is no way that the day a person is born again, you will say he's perfect in all regards. Some people will say he's perfect. All he needs is just to renew his mind. 1,000 times, no. Mind renewal cannot be equal to soul salvation. So the person's soul is a baby, and it is on the basis of soul we grow. I love what Pastor Tyler that said sometime, you know, was speaking on in a private conversation somewhere, and he said how you measure growth, Pastor Tyler said, you understand, is in capacity to, you understand, you know, endure contradictions on the basis of the prescription of the gospel. Meaning the gospel demands a style of life. And that style of life would make you live in a way contrary to your love, your way, your thoughts, and the way that is generally accepted. And you bear it and you agree with it. He said that's how you measure whether a person is growing. In 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18, Peter said, he said, grow in grace and in knowledge. So there is no growth outside of knowledge. And knowledge is what brings grace. Let's say amen. So another thing to note, you know, is that, you know, for us as believers, growth is measured, you know, as a result of what occurs in our soul. Let's say amen. Another thing that is worthy of note that I would like to stress, that it is possible to hasten our movement from one level of grace and growth to another. Just like it is possible to carelessly and unyieldedly remain stagnant spiritually. And it is also possible to draw back from a grace or growth level that one has attained unto, if one is not careful and if one withdraws from the commitment to growing up. Let's read some scriptures to that effect. You know, we are talking about, you know, the proper heart disposition for transitioning from Christ onto everlasting life. So we felt to, you know, elucidate upon this. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 7. Let me read verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Can we read verse 12 together? 1, 2, go. So he's talking to some people that they should look for. His everlasting life he's talking about. And hasten. So it's good to know, how was the proper heart disposition that I should have as somebody who is in a, you know, company of those who are learning everlasting life. It's good to know, peradventure, if, you know, maybe all I know, all I have, I am accessing by understanding presently. That Diego was teaching on sanctification yesterday, and he gave a strange definition. All of us who are there were wild. He said, people will ask, how can you tell whether I have been sanctified? He said, how you can tell whether you have been sanctified is if you understand that scripture. As in what that scripture means, you understand it. He said it's a sign that you are experiencing, because it's that word that sanctifies. So if you understand it and you do it, then you are sure that you are walking in sanctification. Let's say amen. So it's good to know you. Touch yourself. Say me. Touch yourself. Some people are not touching themselves. Say, I can hasten unto everlasting life. You know, at times, you know, there might be, naturally speaking, many people have a good sense of responsibility towards their job, towards their family, you know, but when it comes to spiritual things, the sense of responsibility is not the same. We leave it to chance. You understand? This is an apostle by apostolic strength and sight saying, you look for it. Of course, attitudes of looking for it, coming for meetings like this, going to, you know, participating in, you know, whatever meetings the Lord calls for, you understand? Then he didn't just say, just look for it. You know, when you look for something, he now say, hasten. Meaning, quicken your pace, Charles Price prophecy said. You don't just, if instructions come, you are not, you know, you are not playing with it like if nothing is at stake. But you take it like if you don't do this thing, you will die. So it's good to know that I can hasten my movement towards, you understand, everlasting life. If that's what that is before me. And if I am in the milk, it's also good to know I can hasten my movement. There are some brethren in our midst that I draw inspiration from. I'm a pastor under Daddy Eguchukwu Momililian, you understand, over them. But me, I look at them. You know, it's wisdom. There are some people, when I'm getting discouraged. I just, some people, I just look at them. They are not pastors. They are not preaching. All they just do, they are lost in obeying God. There are people like that in our midst. So me, what I do, I look at them. Boom. Pastor, no pastor. It doesn't count when it has to do with this matter. I just look at them. Some of them, you understand, I like to, because I just see, for them, they are just consumed. Some of them, you find them in uncomely, you know, circumstances, naturally. Why some of them, you find them, not just in uncomely circumstances that their natural is, their uncomely departments. Uncomely. And you see them, nobody ever praises them like, you know, we pastors, can you help me appreciate Pastor Tokpe? Can you help me appreciate Pastor TJ? Can you appreciate Iola? Ah, Iola. Can you help me appreciate? Nobody remembers them. And somewhere, they don't care. They are just there convicting all of us. I discover I grew better when I wasn't, you know, having this kind of obvious responsibility. Of course, I'm growing small, small by God's grace. But if I look back, I mean, growth without distraction. Growth without pressure. There is a pressure around being obvious. If you are not careful, you want to grow for the wrong reason. You understand? You know, but there are people in our midst. You just look at them sometimes. You wish you are them. I'm being frank. You just wish, I wish I am this person, who is not a preacher, is not a minister, for him or her, because among many are hers, they feel they are disadvantaged. So then we will come to you and tell you they are not growing. And you will be like, yeah. I wish we can exchange growth. Keep mine, I keep yours. Just, you know, with not crown now, just the growth. Praise the Lord. So what am I trying to say? That, you understand, we can hasten. If I were you, I would look for friends who are hastening. You know, you can be in a community like this, and God forbid, you understand, you can join yourself to somebody who is not serious. You know, in every great house, everybody say every great house. There are many things in a great house. Some people, they talk about, sorry, this is pastoral now. I've had people report some people. Most times, ladies, they are, you know, following truth, but all their passion is they just want to hang out somewhere. They never gather to pray before. They've never. That they gather, and why they are gathering is to hear word or pray. No, it's to hang out somewhere. It's to hang out somewhere. At times, you just feel like praying, God, dry their finances. It will help them. And when you see them, they are always among brethren. You know, sometimes you can tell they are just part of it's a hype thing. They have not thrown the fire inside. When you see those, they've thrown fire too. That's how they behave. They come inside, you understand? They are carrying burden, and we all need it. Our best seasons is our precious seasons. What did I call it? I have found out, sometimes, you understand, when you are not feeling pressure, I'm not lying to you. In this part, your best season is your... In as much as you can't work pressure, but your best season is your pressure season. Wherein you are being pressed on every side. That's the best time. That's the time you are... You focus less on yourself. You understand? You are broken. You are contrite. You are sober. You understand? You are cast down. You are more vulnerable to Jesus. Less vulnerable to flesh. So we should trust God. So I was saying, sometimes you might need to look for people. If your friends are in light and they are not motivating you enough, You are not defriending them. Just add yourself to another person's friends list. Just bam, say, I want to be a friend. Can I come and visit you? All because you need somebody who, you know, say, iron sharpeneth iron. He says, so also a friend's countenance is sharpened by the friends. Let's say amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Baba, bright, and the bright, my bright, light, bright, light, bright, light, light, make you light, make you light, make you light, make you bright, make you light, make you bright, make you light, make you light, make you light, 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 and make you bright, make you light. I bring you light to make you bright. I bring you light to make you bright. I bring you this light even to make you bright, even to make you bright, even according to my standard of brightness. I bring you this light. I bring you this light to make you bright, even to give you wisdom, even to give you wisdom, even spiritual wisdom, even spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding that would even lead you, that will lead you, that will lead you even in things natural, even in things natural that are even tied even to things spiritual. For you see, the things natural are tied to the things spiritual. For it's a two-edged sword. It's a two-edged sword. It's a two-edged sword. It's a two-edged sword. For the things natural are tied even to the things spiritual. For something seemingly simple as even choosing your friends can even lead you even to lay it on even this eternal life, on even this eternal life. So I say, I bring you even this wisdom. I bring you this wisdom. I bring you my light 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 wisdom to make you bright, 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 even in decision making, even in decision making, even in decision making. For in your decision making, that is where you can find evil life. That's where you can find evil life. Yeah, take wisdom. Yeah, take wisdom. Yeah, take wisdom. Yeah, take wisdom. Yeah, have wisdom. Have wisdom spiritual. Have wisdom spiritual. For there is wisdom carnal and there is wisdom spiritual. There is wisdom carnal and there is wisdom spiritual. For you have come to a place that you should operate even in the wisdom spiritual. Even in the wisdom spiritual. I give you wisdom spiritual. I give you to understand even wisdom spiritual. And to have wisdom spiritual, said the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. In that same vein, it felt like, you know, as you teach, you learn how to understand move of the spirits much more. Having done this under Daddy Eguchukwu, this is my 11th year of teaching Sunday school. So I've learned some things. I feel there's an emphasis of the spirit at that junction. So let me stay there small. Because the anointing on the service increased at that junction. Apart from the words that the Lord also brought forth to confirm, you understand, there's a weight of the spirit at that junction. And part of the things the prophecy said is that God also uses the natural to translate into the spiritual. Let me explain. You know, I talked about pressure, that our best times are our pressured times. Now, so you know, times that we are translated from flesh to spirit. The same way translation. Daddy said the pressure is for translation. Now, somebody might ask me, I'm not going through pressure. I know this is the reason why I've not been translated. I know. Maybe just do status. Pressure me, oh God. So it's good to qualify. What would that pressure mean? Now, the truth is that opportunities for that pressure are always around us at our several levels of growth. Now, having said pressure, now you might be thinking, expecting something. But really, because God is faithful and always wants to turn us from flesh to spirit, He gives opportunity for us to, you understand, you know, come under, He allows it. Who brings the pressure? The adversary. And the pressure is in, you know, is activated when we make a commitment to the path of truth. The day you say you want to do truth, that pressure is activated by the arrangement that Satan has arranged here. So let me give some example. The chief example in our midst as a church of people who are under pressure, so that you understand what pressure. Pressure doesn't mean you don't have food to eat. It doesn't mean you don't have clothes to wear. Pressure means the Lord putting a demand for you to lose your life, to die. I like that. Now, if you check Daddy and Mommy Eguchiku, if you ask me, I don't know of any person, with the exception of our parents, that have come under pressure the last couple of years. Now, if you have to judge by Daddy's, Daddy is dressing very fine this morning. You understand? And Mommy is looking amazingly, uniquely, exceptionally beautiful. Hallelujah. But under pressure. So pressure, makeup, somebody having makeup doesn't mean they are not under pressure. Now, so let me bring some examples to it. You can be staying in somebody's house. You know, we're a community that have folks, you know, the way the Lord designed it. Two patterns we see in our parents, Daddy and Mommy Ego, Daddy and Mommy Ego, Chuku, another of our pastor. So it's a community life. Now, that place you're staying, I can assure you, because me too, you understand, I have people staying with me. I stayed some, a little here and there. My wife stayed, you know, with Daddy, herself, Sister Yaki, they stayed for, Sister Yaki stayed maybe longer. My wife stayed for 5 years plus. So I have a sense, both by my only two experience, I experienced, and as a pastor, that when you stay with people, you will come under pressure. I mean, not anything. They've not done anything. You have not done anything. Just by coming. Now, you can be hearing Christ, and yet they are everlasting life, everlasting life, everlasting life. And for you, you might be wondering, you understand? You know, I want entrance. Baba, entrance, entrance. Open the everlasting doors. You see, everlasting doors are in that place you're staying. I'm saying from different sides. As a pastor, I'm doing a pastoral work. Now, the people you are staying with are not perfect. Then, you understand? Maybe, for example, they believe in eating okra. Everybody say okra. Yeah. And it might not be that they believe. It's the grace level they have. Where you are coming from, okra is considered the food of poor people. But yet, now the Lord now brings you, and you are very excited. I'm staying with Pastor Ilemenoya. And you enter the house full of excitement. The first 1 week, you understand, you're playing with the children. Hey, Junior! I'm staying in this house with you. We are now together. We are glued. Some weeks down the line, you just sit in the room crying. You understand? Say pressure. Now, the Lord brought you. Now, it doesn't mean they are not perfect. You are not perfect. But the law, because when he got to charity, he began to say he endureth all things. He's not just enduring all things for all things, he's enduring all things for a hope. So you can be, in that house, that same place. I remember when I was serving under the person I served under, that day Amomeguchukwu knows the person. I stayed with her for, you understand, 5-6 years. And many times I felt like running away. Eh? You know, but one thing the Lord kept telling me, the Lord kept saying, you can be here and go to heaven. That was, he said, you can be serving here and you enter heavens. You enter the tabernacle. He said, just see this wall of this church and our house as a ladder up to heaven. Now you can be in that house. I'm talking to somebody. You can be in that house rather than, because in that same house, evil spirits are there. Not in the negative sense, maybe demons coming to oppress. I used to tell people in my house, wonderful people that stay with me and my wife, wonderful, the best. I used to tell them that every weekend some evil spirit come into the house. It might look like a joke, but it's true. Because that particularly when they want to cook soup for 2 weeks, when you see vegetable like half bag, you see pepper. Those times I used to thank God that I am the head of the home. I won't do anything. I say, Father, I thank you. I have passed this level. So I'll just be like, the Lord help you. Because why? You understand? That's when you'll be hearing voices. Those spirits, and the Lord allows them. Angels will scare them. Ah, no, angels will give way. Because he will not allow you to be tempted more than what you can bear. That means he will allow you to be tempted to the degree to you can bear. So you want everlasting life. So pressure will come. And probably you are working. Or you are a student. And they will say you should do it. And normally you have your own breaking point. But the Lord wants to stretch you. Now I know I have a balance to it. Because I know as a pastor from both sides. Now you that they are staying with, also know that the people staying with you are not house helps. Let's say amen. Amen. If you really, really need house help, go and get an house help. They are not house helps. They are brethren. You know, treat them with knowing that you can lose your crown on the basis of how you treat them. Because they are Christ. That is it, they are Christ. So when you are dealing with people, I wake up every morning, so I greet everybody in my house. I'm the oldest, the head of the home. Nobody will take my crown. Everybody, you understand? I'm always greeting, sanctifying everybody. Because why? These people, they are just passing through. People with great destinies. I will never open my, never, since we have people staying with us since 2016, I say, you are mad. I have never. Me? I want to die. Who born monkey? I will call a Christ that the Eguchukwu's daughter or son that the Eguchukwu's daughter. I'll say you are mad. Ah. So we treat them. So and for that, apart from that, me too. I won't sit down and they will be walking. I wake up every morning. I have house chores. As people stay in my house. Everybody say house chores. Because you lead by example. I know there are things I can't do. There are many things I used to do. But the little that I know I can still do, I can bait children. I can take care of John. Customize daddy to take care of him. I can take care of David, you know, to a degree. You understand? I still have things that I should do. Also showing example. Not that I sit down and watching TV and everybody, they are working. My slaves, they are working. You know, I will lose entrance. The atmosphere of the house will not be balanced. Angels will be angry. Or you think angels, they look at it that this thing you are doing is not right. So all of us want entrance. Who doesn't want entrance? So we're all careful. Everybody is using wisdom. Praise God. I'm just trying to say there is pressure. As people, you people staying with people, you know people you stay with, they come under financial pressure. Pressure on both sides, but both sides will do light. Imagine if both sides are pushing. People staying with people are pushing. People they are staying with are pushing. All of a sudden, a whole family will trap an everlasting atmosphere. It will not just be a Christ family. It will be a family using everlasting heavens over their homes. Everlasting angels begin to come home. Let's say amen. Amen. I just have to stress that because of the emphasis of the Spirit. Let's say amen. So I can hasten
Also, I can be stagnant. If a believer is not careful, they can be spiritually stagnant. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, give me Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. He said, for the time you ought to be teachers. At this time, these people ought to be teachers. He said, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And I become such as have need of milk. Now, meaning these people ought to be in the realm of Christ. That at that level, they should be teaching Christ. But the way they were behaving, he said they are behaving like people who they should come and teach milk. Means they are stagnant. God forbid. I didn't hear you say God forbid. It's not good to be spiritually stagnant. At most, you understand, you know, not be as fast as you should be. It's better than being stagnant. But we should be as fast as the demand of the Lord would be upon us. Let's say amen. Then the worst is to retrogress. That is possible for a believer to draw back. He said that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39. He said, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So some people draw back. Now we're saying all of that for to say, you know, to know how to, you understand, position ourselves. You understand? At this position we should have. So you shouldn't be lackadaisical. You shouldn't be careless. Everlasting. Somehow I will enter. Somehow, no. We should be proactive about it. Let's say amen. Transiting from Christ's doctrine to everlasting life. From our manual. To successfully transit from Christ's doctrine to everlasting life or the incorruptible seed, we ought to arm ourselves with the following mindset. 1. You cannot finish Christ in the sense that you finish school. This is that day. I quoted that day word for word here. Let's say amen. The knowledges of Jesus Christ our Lord, that is all his knowledge, from milk to meat to strong meat, are knowledges of lives. Lives that are in continuum. It is only with the sword of doctrine that the scripture paints that we can tell the end point of a life from the next allocation. Hence, to try to make a demarcation in Christ's doctrine like the knowledge and learning of secular education could leave a believer confused. Now, let's explain it. How many of in the natural judgment arrangement of age grades, they will tell you they are babies, they are children, they are adolescents. Adolescence is between 9 and 12. Then teenagers from 13 to 19. You understand? Then, you know, 20s upward, they call you adult. Now, is it possible for, I'm talking about using a human body, because we're talking about life. Is it possible for you to tell when a person crosses from adolescence? But for age, if you take away age, is it possible you say, okay, your life stopped here. This adolescent life stopped here. From now, you understand, your teenage life has started. Of course, there are signs. The breaking in voice, the, you know, mustache for guys. Those are signs of another life that has begun to show. Another age. Another stage. You know, because in the spirit also, they categorize those things as age. Till we come into the fullness of the measure of the age. The word stature in the Greek is age of Christ. So milk is an age. Meat is a giving of age. Strong meat is giving of age. So all the things, those doctrines are actually communication of age. So in the secular sense, if we use secular mind, to want to know when we are true with Christ's doctrine, we would have issues. Because life is in continuum. There is no clear-cut, you know, measurement where you can say, okay, it's at this point the baby life ended. Then the adolescence life or the child life began. It's at this point the child life ended, then the adolescence life, because life is in continuum. It's really one life that evolves into another level. So what is called Christ's life is the same life. If our Lord Jesus Christ comes to you, you will not find life from here to here is Christ. From here, no, everything is Him. He is everlasting, He is eternal, He is Christ. He has the knowledge of the baby stuff. They are all in Him. So, but when it comes to you, He's wholesome. But for the purpose of delivery, doctrine categorizes them. So somebody might say, how am I sure when I have come out of Christ's life, I'm entering into everlasting life? Just keep growing. The same way a seed is sown, 1 Corinthians 3 talked about, you plant the seed. You understand? He said, you go and sleep. The person who plants seeds does not know when it grows. The person who is watering it does not know when it grows. It is God that gives his stature. So what we should be concerned about, we hear doctrine and we obey it. Then we trust God to, you know, in the place of obeying it, you will tell. When you get to seasons, like for example, season of charity, you know you have that witness in your spirit. Not in a secular sense. The way they teach education, you are true with primary six, you wear gown. You are entering a secondary school, you wear gown. You are true with secondary school, you wear gown. Those celebrations, you know, like Daddy said yesterday, one indice is that you are doing well in a particular, you are established in a realm, you understand it. Then the instruction of the spirit that comes to you, you can trace it to that realm in scriptures. Let's say amen. Because life is in continuum. The same thing, spiritual life is in continuum. Let's say amen. For example, in charity, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, charity believeth all things. There is what charity is. But charity as itself, one, when you know you are getting to charity, you can believe all things. All things are everlasting life. Opeth all things. Endureth all things. So he's here, but he's already participating in a, because there is no space for life. It is a rollover. So when you are entering the body, you are entering charity, at some point, you might not be able to say it's on the 27th of December that I crossed over from Christ's life to everlasting life. You may not be able to tell. You may not say, and I wrote it in my diary. And I uploaded it on Google Calendar. The day that I transited. Thank you. Praise God. But as we do the life, as we make commitments to growth, we change. So like Daddy said in this passage, he said, just keep growing. If you are growth oriented, both in doing, in hearing and doing, you might not even know. You just at some point discover that I have changed. My capacity, you understand, has increased. Let's say amen. The same way a natural child does not and cannot exactly tell when they add height to their stature, so also it is with our transition from one level of growth to another. Let's say amen. In every house, church, that is, that has come into the allocation of the doctrine of everlasting life, there is also the allocation of things of Christ. Just like children and adults in every physical biological home are always catered for in their several levels of eating and nutritional requirements, so also every level of growth or age is taken into consideration in every church that has come into the things of the Father. All the epistles of the apostles reflect and buttress this spiritual principle. Let's say amen. Now, what Daddy, you understand, you know, was saying, you know, from that is that if, for example, like if you go back 7 years, we didn't know about everlasting life. All we had was faith of the Son and, you know, milk. And we have foundation school, young believers class, that teaches those who come for, who are just going to come, you know, into the faith, or who come to our midst, they go through young believers class to help them do well, know and, you know, prosper in the milk. While the main church in Sunday school, we teach Christ, and that it teaches faith of the Son. But now the Lord has added to us. And you understand, you know, we now have both, not just milk allocation that YBC, they're having their classes now, deals with,
We have Christ also being taught. There is never going to come a time that we will stop teaching Christ. Let's say amen. Amen. To stop teaching Christ is to stop the bridge, to break the bridge. As long as we have children, we will not stop teaching Christ. We don't know how the Lord will lead that day in the future. But for now, we are still close to Christ. Just entering everlasting life. So teachings will always, even when Daddy taught yesterday, the first 1 hour, 20 minutes or thereabouts was Christ. So Christ would always be taught in an everlasting life church. Check all epistles. It's Christ, Father. Christ, Father. Christ, Father. You know, John is the one that did everlasting and landed in eternal. That's a high Baba. You understand? So it's good to know that in a big church that is everlasting church, whether it's here, whether it's City Gate Church, whether it's Eternal Life Embassy, whether it's Love Seal, whether it's the Apostolic Church in Ilorin, whether it's Klim, Reverend Ken's Church, whether it's Pastor Clay's Church, wherever it is, you understand, that people have come as far as the doctrine of everlasting life. It's good to know that the teaching of Christ would always be in the house. Because the foundation for the teaching of everlasting life is Christ. Let's say amen. Amen. When stature of Christ is formed in the soul, it becomes an inheritance that the soul carries along in the journey towards the throne. Let's say amen. Meaning, you know, there's this popular, there's this saying in Yoruba that it's what the bird, the food that the bird eats that he uses to fly. Meaning it's his own. When Christ's nature is formed in me, in you, it becomes our inheritance. It is that inheritance we take along to grow to the realm, you understand, you know, of the Father. Let's say amen. In concluding, a few other things to note about the doctrine of Christ unto everlasting commandments are as follows. Doing Christ or obeying the doctrine of Christ gives one a new heart. Let's say a new heart. Now, those terminologies at times can be reasons why some people can be locked out. The many-sided wisdom that the Lord blesses his ministers with to teach can be the reason why some people, maybe to just say one word, you've been understanding, just give one word, blah, you just disconnect. So a new heart is produced in, when they say a new heart, they don't mean this your heart that pumps blood, becomes new, if they open it, discover it's golden. No. The doctrine of Christ, what it works in your heart, it works on your mind. It makes your mind spiritual. It puts the law of life and the law of the spirit of life in your mind. They say to be carnally minded is dead. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So when the person has used Christ, he becomes spiritually minded. There is a new spirit in his mind. Spirit means a new law. He said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 22. Be renewed in the spirit. There is a spirit that used to be in the mind of everyone. When we were born again in our spirit became a new man. But at that point, we had a wrong spirit in our mind and a wrong spirit in our heart. Spirit not as an entity that has two hands and two legs. No. Spirit as in law. Bible qualifies law as spirit. When Jesus said in John 6:63, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So words that are spoken are spirit. So with words, they can remove wrong spirit in our mind. And it cannot be removed as in you just take something and drop it. They need to preach and preach. And preach because they need the cooperation of me. They need your cooperation for that spirit to be removed. So the more teachings are coming, the more you understand, and I am agreeing. I am hearing. I'm actually receiving spirit. And by that spirit I'm receiving and doing, I am removing the old spirit. That's the mind. In the heart, that spirit begins to work on my heart. You understand? Obey this. Do that. Don't do this. Prefer your brother. Suffer long. The more I do that, when that work is complete, what it turns my heart to is a new heart. Meaning what God sees in the realm of the spirit, just find out, wow, Pastor Telema has a new heart. Now, it's a new heart that can call God to come with the incorruptible seed, which is the doctrine of everlasting life. Let's say amen. Also, Christ's heart or new heart is the soil that is ready to receive the incorruptible seed for everlasting life. So if, for example, the thing is not, you know, you are doing Christ and you still don't understand, don't be discouraged. You are, you know, at times you just feel you just want to enter now. That your ego has been around this thing for 30 years plus, both teaching and living it. Now, we don't have to stay 30 years, but I can assure you, we shouldn't also jump. If you started hearing 3 years ago, relax. I know a time will come, maybe a generation that is still coming. Maybe in 2 years, they will finish Christ's curriculum. Yeah? And they will enter everlasting life. The more the light is increasing, the shorter the walk is becoming. But where we find ourselves now is that it takes time. So if you understand, you are not understanding, be hearing. That doesn't mean, oh, you come for meeting, say, ah, this guy is, that is teaching incorruptible seed today. Ah, let me just go outside and listen to one Christ message because I know I can't receive it. No, stay there. Inside that word, Christ's reign will fall on you. Because there is Christ inside the minister who is teaching incorruptible seed. You know, at times there's dynamics in ministration. Mommy Ellen was giving a testimony recently of somebody who said they went for a meeting in Pastor Gbile's church, Baba Gbile. And while they were there, he said when they get home, he's a minister. He said they will now ask all the people, they carry all their church workers many years ago. They will go to Baba Gbile's church meeting in Boko. He said when they get back, so they don't want to assume they understood or they knew what. So they now say, everybody come and tell us, come to the front, tell us what you learned. So, and he's a minister's wife. She said she is always shocked because what she and her husband heard is not what everybody, you see, different people hear different. And you'll be like, in that same meeting, say, guy, don't go yet, don't go. This, where did you hear? He said he's when Papa Bagbile is ministering. Which one? This year meeting, yes. He said this. You see, that's what I was blessed by. That's what I heard. When he said this, I heard that this is, that was what the word registered in my heart. So different people listened to the same message, but took different things. So the fact that they are teaching incorruptible seed, if it is milk, that you will get milk. If it is Christ, you will get Christ. It's like the wisdom of a mother in a house that has a baby. From that mother, breast milk will come for the one that is crying. From that same mother, the one that is 5 years will get, you know, rice, beans, and chicken. From that same mother, another 90 year old will eat apple. So the mother is a giver. From everything is inside. Let's say amen. Amen. So it's good to know that, you understand, when they are teaching everlasting life and you are not there, don't be discouraged. You are on a journey. You, that you want, don't discourage you. You will encourage many people. Oh. Say amen. Amen. You will encourage many people who are also coming. You will tell them, relax. Me too. I stayed a little time here. You will enter. Let's say amen. Amen. It is that heart that is Christ's heart, that is new heart, that is ready, that is the soil for the incorruptible seed. Once that heart is there, I can assure you, that seed, they will begin to throw it at you. Maybe they throw one, it didn't enter. They will throw it again. Preaching until one will enter. Let's say amen. When a new art, which is Christ's art, has been achieved, and a new spirit, which is Christ's law, has been written, then the right art's disposition to move on to the next allocation, which is everlasting life, is attained. Meaning, the art's disposition God is waiting for to give the incorruptible seed is an art that is Christ's art. A person who has mastered that Christ nature. Let me put it like this. A person who has mastered charity. Who knows how not to seek our own. Who knows who is not easily provoked. You know. Who does not rejoice in iniquity. He might not be free from iniquity. He is not free from iniquity, but he does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. He beareth all things, believeth all. When a person is like that, God knows I can give the seed. This heart is ready. So this person's question is, you understand, the heart disposition that they should have
to paraphrase. So, you know, God, you know, through our daddy, you know, has helped for us to see, you know, different adjustments, mindsets that we need to have, positioning, to have that right at disposition for us to be, you know, come into everlasting life. Let's say amen. Amen. Let's put our hands together for Pastor Ike.
Good morning, everyone. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm standing in for our pastors. They are on ministerial assignment. So daddy said, daddy would have me do this. So it's not me. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Okay. I believe that we've all been blessed by the lesson today. You know, if you've been blessed, you know, just let's appreciate our pastor, Pastor T, for the lesson. Well, we are grateful, sir. Thank you so much for the, you know, very, very explanatory. The truth is, I feel like Pastor T, he cleans up behind himself. He just does everything. So just quickly going straight into it to emphasize some of the few things that Pastor has said, to say it again, you know, from the heart dispositions towards receiving everlasting life. You know, our pastor stressed a lot about some senses that gives us responsibilities. Pastor spoke about sense of responsibility as believers. Now, truth is, the matter of growth or the matter of growing spiritually, God is more committed to it than we think. It is God that wants many sons. No human being prayed to God to desire many sons. It is not an answer to anybody's prayer to give man eternal life. Before man even existed, it was God that said he wants to give man eternal life. So it's God's project. Somewhere, the devil doesn't always want us to see God's side of the commitment. Somewhere, the devil always wants us to feel as if God is our lecturer that sets exams so you can fail and laugh at you. It doesn't make us see that side of God, that he is more deliberate. It is better for God, in quotes, if we say it that way, that we all sit on the throne. That is what gives him pleasure. I don't believe God will have pleasure to see anybody not attain eternal life. And knowing the kind of person that God is, as he has shown us in scripture, he will do all he needs to do for us to get to the end, for us to get to everlasting eternal life. Do we understand it? Now, some examples is, God did not just promise eternal life, he also gave everything we would need. You know, when he says, I place before you life and death, and he says, choose life, he placed before us everything we need to achieve this hope of the calling that he has called us. One example is the scriptures, Bible. The Bible is not an answer to anybody's prayer. No man cried to God and said, give us Bible. God knew that for human beings to come to the hope which he has created them for, they will need Bible. By himself, he inspired it. It's not a prayer, it's not an answer to anybody's prayer. Nobody knelt down and said, God, give us a guide. Give us Bible. That's to show God's commitment, right? Another example is ministering spirits. It wasn't, God did not create, nobody prayed to God to create angels. In his own wisdom, knowing that man will need, are they not all ministering spirits set forth to what? That shall be, meaning that when God was creating heavens, he was thinking of salvation. We didn't ask him to create angels. It's not an answer to our prayer. It is his own commitment. Examples, plenty. The church. It's Christ that established the church, knowing that we didn't ask for it. We didn't even have the wisdom. We didn't know that, and it is impossible for anybody to have eternal life without the church. So, and we couldn't pray for it. We didn't know. We couldn't even pray for Holy Ghost to come down. We didn't know we needed Holy Ghost. We didn't know tongues was important. I don't know if you are getting me. No, you cannot be more committed to God than God in this business of giving man eternal life. When Apostle Paul says, you know, Paul planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. It is, I don't know how to put it. His commitment to these things. You know, for me, when the old thing comes like, hey, can you ever? I just always assure myself that, see, don't worry. The God that promised eternal life, if he is not able to make it happen, he wouldn't promise it. So everything that a man needs to sit on the throne, to have everlasting and have eternal life, God has given it. So if any man doesn't grow or enter into these realms, it can never be God's fault. On God's side, the deal is done. So that now calls for a sense of responsibility. The work that remains is on our own end. Now, the wisdom to make sure that my own part of the deal, I don't drop the ball. You know, Pastor T began to mention some things. Company with people that are running to where you are running to. It's you that will do that one. It's not God. God will bring brethren. But it's not God that will enter the brethren's DM and say, I don't know if you are getting me. But it is God that will add the person to the church. He has done his own part. Is there anybody that chose his brethren by himself? That shall come and just say, God, don't let this one burn again. It's not our part. It's not our part of the process. I don't know if you get me. Our own part of the process is, after God has now given me brethren, what do I use brethren to do? Brethren is not only addressable markets to sell your business products. There are many other things to use brethren for as pertaining unto entrance. You know, you just enter, just say, wow, people are plenty and I'm selling bag. Yeah. You are not using brethren for the purpose of entrance. Yeah, you're just collecting contacts so that they will see your status. Say no. I don't know if you are getting me. Now, those parts is our own responsibility. Anybody that doesn't, you know, our pastor stressed it, looking for and hastening unto, it will show in the way we relate with every other thing. It will show in the way we relate with brethren. It will show in the way we relate with finances. It will show in the way we relate with our work, you know, our carnal work, our secular work. It will show in the way we relate to everything. Because it is a manner of person. What manner of person ought you to be? Are you getting me? There was something our daddy said some years back. He said it is the same soul. It is the same soul that passed one way. It's that same soul that will come to church. And when they say, let's do it this way. Nah. One way. It's the same soul. Do you understand? It's the same soul. It's a man, it's a kind of person. A stubborn person is a stubborn person. You even see it in his academics. You say, I'm not reading this chapter. Anything the lecturer wants to do is a manner of person. I don't know if you get me. I don't know if you understand me. Yes. So the emphasis here is, by mercy, we ought to begin to see what manner of person ought we to be looking for entrance into this everlasting life. Now, that manner of person is spiritually responsible. That manner of person is not, Pastor, pray for me. You just want to bring your head and just lay it down. You just fall down, you stand up, everlasting. No. There is the part of the walk. I don't know if you get me, that we ought to do. Then our pastor began to speak again about transitioning from Christ's doctrine to everlasting life. As pastor was teaching, an example just flashed my mind. You know, in primary school, we learn literacy. One skill you come out with from primary school is how to read and write. You learn numeracy. Then you also learn spoken English. So a basic education is you should be literate and have numeracy skills. You understand? But there are other skills too, like comprehension skill. Because you can read, is another deal to now comprehend what you have read. There are other skills like probing, analytical skills. It is impossible to say, okay, now I have finished primary school. I have literacy, numeracy, and spoken English skill, and now say, okay, I end this one. I don't know if you're getting me. Then let's now go and start learning comprehension. It is the same skill because it's a continuation. If you say, okay, now I'm in secondary school, I need to come up with comprehension, but I will never use numeracy, literacy, you can never comprehend. I don't know if you're getting it. And all the numeracy, literacy that you need in this world, you won't get it in primary school. So meaning the comprehension is a build-up. It's a build-up just with different demands, different activities. But it's really a build-up of it. Well, a good example is when you get to senior secondary, they'll begin to introduce registers, register of words around professions. You know how to speak English already. But if they bring you to a profession of agriculture, you don't have the words. So they begin to teach you registers, lexis, structure. You understand? But you can speak English. I don't know if you are getting me. But in a realm, when you carry that English you can speak, you cannot communicate. It's always funny. You carry maybe a textbook for medicine. It's written in English. It's written in English. And you did English, A1, Junior WAEC. And you're reading it and you're like... So although you are literate, Daddy says in that realm, you are illiterate. But it will be easier for someone that has already gone through that primary school curriculum that has come out with literacy skill to now build up and now comprehend that new realm and now make progress with it. So it's similar, even with spiritual growth. There would never be a time when we'll say we stopped using Christ or we stopped using milk. The circumstances changes, the demand changes, the arrangement changes, but the principle is still with you. And the skills, Daddy said, the skills we gather there. Like one major skill that we gather from the milk is the 100% reliance that God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Anybody that says he's done milk and doesn't come out with that thing hasn't done milk. That reliance on the word, you will need it at every level. So that thing that you're looking for, that have I crossed? Ask yourself the question, are you asking that, is it time to drop this one? Because if that's what you're asking, it's not going to happen. Because most times, because of that faulty understanding, we keep feeling like, I'm not growing. Because you are thinking that growth means I drop one, then I continue. No, it's not like that. The same way you did not drop multiplication table. The same way you did not drop alphabets. You understand? Even the alphabet you learned in primary school, when you get to algebra, they'll put it in math again. So if you now say, I'm not writing ABC again. Why are we looking for A? Am I in primary school? You will fail. Amen. So do we understand it? Life is in continuum. As Pastor said, there will never be a date you write in your calendar. January 27th, 2022. I crossed. Nah, it's never going to happen. You know, even Apostle John, in a beautiful wisdom, said it in 1 John. He said, we know not what. And he said, now are we the sons of God. It hasn't yet appeared what we shall be. But we know. When he appears, we be like him. So as we are waiting till he appears, we continue. Because you cannot draw the line and say, and that is Apostle John. Are you getting me? That is who? Apostle John. If Apostle John is walking by this principle, then we have no excuse. Are we getting it? Amen. Now, one other thing to stress is trusting the process or understanding that the meal is wholesome. An example comes to mind readily. You know that the children of Israel were given birth in the wilderness, and they did not leave Egypt with Cerelac. Meaning that the child that they born, that manna, because they did not go back to Egypt to go and buy Ogi and cross Red Sea and come to the wilderness to come and give the 2-year-old baby. The generation that entered into the promised land, all of them, over 90% of them, were born in the wilderness. And remember that scripture said their clothes was growing with them. So, where did the diaper, how did it? It's another conversation. But are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, the mothers of those children did not take excuse from the journey and went back. That what this child needs now, I need to add crayfish to this manna. The truth is that in that manner, if you trust the person providing it, the milk that you say you don't have, it is in that manner. Because you did not bring yourself to the wilderness. Jesus has companies in plenty places. If he joined you with one, he has a reason. Jesus is not short of options. He could have joined you with the one in China. He just works a scholarship there and you are joined. The fact that he left you here, joined you to Koshofer crew, it's for a reason. Meaning, your own path to eternal life, the meal you need for that point in time, is inside whatever he has given the set man. So taking time off and say, okay, I'm not following message again. I want to go and do milk. You are going back to Egypt. And everybody, just a joke. You know that the angel that God sent with Moses,
Jesus. Seto Banakatana, Father, Son of Father, I am your Father, I am your Father, I am your Father, I am a Father, I am a Father, I'm a Father, I'm a Father, I'm your Father, I'm a Father, and I'm your Father, I'm a Father, and I'm your Father, I'm a Father, and I'm your Father, as the Father even pitieth his children, so do I also pity my children, so do I also pity my children, so do I also look upon my children, even in love and even in mercy. I'm a Father. I'm a Father. If you, being wicked, can give even good things, even to your children, then also I, as a Father, can give you good gifts, can give you good gifts. I have you in my mind. I have you uttermost in my mind. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. For yea, I've seen your end even from my beginning. I've seen your end even from my beginning. I've seen your end even from my beginning. I've seen your end. I've seen your journey. I've seen your journey. I've seen your mistakes. I've seen your pitfalls. I've seen your falling. I've seen your rising. And I've catered for it all. 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 I am Father, I am a Father. I am a Father. I am a Father. I am a Father. But the enemy is painting me otherwise, even with thoughts of condemnation. I do not condemn you. I do not condemn you. I do not put you down. I do not talk you down. I never say you are not growing. I never say you are not growing. I never say you cannot make it. I encourage, I encourage, I encourage, I strengthen, I build up, I do not pull down, I build you up, I exhort, I build up, I bring comforter. My name is Comforter, my name is Comforter. I am a Father, I am your Father. I look upon you, even my church, and I feed you, I feed you, I feed you. I feed you even from abundance of love and mercy. Yeah, I give you awesome food. I give you total food. I give you awesome food. For the church is the pillar and even the ground of truth. For I disseminate truth even because of my love for you. Yeah, I speak this truth even in love. I speak this truth even in love. I divided it even into phases, even because of love. Even because of love. For you cannot take it at once. You take it small, small. You take it gradually. You take it bit by bit. And you grow up into me. 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 Stop believing that thought. Stop believing that thought. Stop believing those thoughts. For I am your Father.
Hallelujah. We give thanks to God. Matthew 6:27, just one verse. Now Jesus says, thank you, Pastor Sam, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Let's read it again. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Now Jesus, many things here, but one thing to note. Adding cubit to stature cannot be done by taking thoughts. There's another way it can be done. It's called by obedience. But most times, the devil will make you neglect obedience and give you thoughts. Change it. It has not worked for anybody. It will never work. That taking thoughts, I'm not growing. This, that. It has never added one cubit to any stature. The process for cubits being added to stature is obedience. So when the thought comes, drop it, don't take it, and start obeying. So Daddy says in the manual, just keep growing. The gap between Christ's everlasting life is one cubit upon a certain stature. So the way you have been getting cubits, 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 is the same way That additional 1 cubit that would take you to the next realm is by the same. You know, in my epistle life, Daddy was talking in Philippians 3. Said that what we have known, the extent that we have known, let's keep moving. Your entrance into the next realm is in the present one. That present one, that next 1 cubit that you will get will take us into the next one. So it's not really a matter, or we shouldn't bother ourselves so much about where am I. Much more, our bother should be how fast am I hastening or looking for the next. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I didn't want to round up. I wanted somebody, but it's so clear, isn't it? Amen. It's so clear. I'm so blessed. I was just telling Pastor T, I said this was one of the major things I wanted to explain to. If we're able to get this with regards to growth, we will stop looking at the wrong thing. We'll start looking correctly at what we ought to look at, which is just keep growing. Just keep growing. What you should bother yourself more is obedience, which will make for your growth, and not where am I. I get that a lot. Even when I travel, you know, when I finish teaching, they will ask me, okay, from what you've taught, Pastor, where? I said, I'm not your pastor. I am from Nigeria. You are in Austria. You are in Poland. You're asking me where you are. I can't tell you where you are. Amen. It's not only us here, everywhere. Everybody wants to know where they are. But I always tell them one thing, just keep growing. And then, you know, the tongues, I wanted to say something about the tongues. You know, just to buttress that tongue, it's very, very accurate. One of the things Satan wants to do to us is to bring us into a state of condemnation concerning what we are hearing. Either this is not for you. How many of us have heard about, Satan have told you, this is not, you are not there, you are not there. You know the people they are talking to, everlasting life, you, go back. Now, he talks like that to everybody. Everybody, even us that are preaching it, he will tell you, you know, you're just preaching. You know, you're just preaching. He does that to everybody. Everybody. Now, at every stage you find yourself, he does that to you. Now, the sole aim is to weaken your resolve. He doesn't want you to continue. He wants to get you to the point, is this thing working really? Is this word of righteousness working? Is this eternal life or everlasting life message? Is it really working? I'm not seeing it in my life. Now, while the prophecy was coming, it reminded me of a minister of the gospel that, you know, had a vision. He went to, you know, a lot of people have been having that vision, you know. But this one is accurate. Because when I listened to him, I knew, no, this guy's encounter was genuine. Because of the things he mentioned, they were scriptural. Now, he says something. He said, when he got there, the Lord told him to tell, one of the messages with was to tell, it's a vision. I didn't say he died. It's a vision. You know, so that you don't, you know, I've always told you, I said, dying and coming back to life is not how they make a minister of the gospel. But I discovered that's how they make, or that's not how they make doctrine. So, but the Lord told him, he said, tell my people that they are doing a whole lot better than they think. Kai, when I heard that, I said, wow. It can be only the Lord that will say that. And I discovered that every one of us ministers that have followed the Lord, sometimes my pastors, they ask me questions, Pastor Daddy, am I growing? Anywhere I'm not doing well, please let me know. Are you sure I'm measuring up? And I'll tell them, you're doing greatly. And they're like, there's something you're not saying. Maybe there's something you need to say. I say, inside me, there is nothing. I don't know whether you understand me. There is nothing. I can't pinpoint, because you are, maybe what you're looking for is for me to point out mistakes or point out shortcomings or point out something, you know. That in itself is not the manner of the Lord. That's not, the Holy Ghost doesn't do that. Now, I know somebody is saying, but why was he saying that to the churches in the book of, it was the whole church, not individual. When he meets an individual, there's a way he relates with you. But when he meets the whole church, there's a way he relates with the whole church. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. And of course, the thing he said to them, he wasn't saying it to them directly. He was saying it to the angel of the church. That is the, it was the angel he was actually rebuking, not the members. So he will now be the one to now know how to say it. Of course, if the Lord comes to me and say this, that, I won't come and tell you, the Lord said, all of you, what I will do is I will go back to the scriptures, build a doctrine. Because what the Lord has just said becomes an inspiration for to build a doctrine to make us measure up in that area. So the Lord does not condemn. That's one thing I want you to understand. I want you to understand the Lord does not condemn. The Holy Ghost does not condemn. They never, any condemnation word you heard is from the enemy. Don't take it. No matter how religious it sounds, no matter how, it might even be with scriptures. Don't take it. Because where it's going to, the resultant effect is your hands will hang down. Your knees will become feeble. But I want you to understand. So when I heard that minister say that the Lord said to tell the church they are doing a whole lot better than you think, then he now told him, he said, don't take that life from that spirit of condemnation. It's a religious spirit that wants you to be in the state of guilt. And when you're in the state of guilt, you think that state of guilt is piety. You know, it's pseudo meekness. It's not. That's false meekness. That's not the disposition. The Lord wants the house to be joyful. You grow better when you are joyful. You grow better when you are joyful. You grow better when you rejoice. That's why I say rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. You grow better when you rejoice. But when you're moody, it will result to complaining. It will result to murmuring. It will result to spiritual depression. That is what Satan actually, he wants to, and is that thing is activity of a religious spirit. To always make you feel, oh, maybe I'm not measuring up, you know. I'm not saying you should feel you are there, you've attained. No, Paul even said, I don't count myself to have attained. But I don't sink into thoughts and depression and condemnation because I have not attained. A spirit is in charge of it. A spirit is responsible for that, which the church must be very, very skillful. Now, in our journey towards everlasting life and eternal life, you will meet I've met some of them, very skillful spirits, preacher boys. You just know that these spirits are preachers. They've been preachers before. Spirits, I'm talking about fallen spirits that will talk to you. And when they will talk to you, they will talk to you like a preacher. Now you have to also be skillful to be able to know that this is not the Lord. And the only way you know that is also by growth. My sheep hear my voice. You must have stayed with the Lord. Of course, you must have stayed with the Lord. You must also have. And that's the reason for Sunday school. To teach you and teach you and teach you to the point where you get so acquainted with the Lord. So that when you meet certain spirits, even when they disguise to be apostles of light, you will be able to dictate them. They are ministers. I'm sorry, I will just say that to buttress what I'm saying. They are ministers that I will listen to. I'll be blessed by what they said. But there are some things they said, not out of contradiction, not out of disrespect or whatever, but I won't take certain words. I'll give you an example. I just brushed through. I was checking something. And I brushed through, a minister was talking to the congregation. And he was talking about hearing from God, how God speaks to him. He said, God just spoke to me right now. But you people didn't hear it because you're deaf. I said, oh, when I look at that. I say, you, first of all, there is pride. You don't know the minister, so you don't. I'm not talking about anybody you know. I know how our mind thinks. Okay, who are the ministers that are on? You don't know whether it's Instagram, or you don't know whether it's on YouTube, you don't know whether it's on TV, so just leave it there. But when I heard that, I just knew it's a wrong spirit. You don't cast aspersion on God's people. You don't talk down on God's people. You build them up. So you'll never hear the Lord at any time talking down. He'll build you up. And don't expect any of us ministers to talk down on you. If we need to correct you, we call. There's a difference between correction. Even in correction, I encourage. Because it's for. The purpose for doctrine is to build up. The purpose for God's word is to build up. So the whole thing I'm trying to make us understand is don't fall into that condemnation. You're going to meet that spirit, especially with regards to everlasting life. You meet such spirits that will begin to tell you, this is not for you. You know yourself. This is not for you. It's for people like Pastor T. Or maybe people like Akogo. I know somebody said, look at this. Look at this brother. I see the everlasting life. These are the guys. Look at the way he understands it. Look at the way he's saying it. Me, I don't even understand what that. No, it's for you. Can you say it's for me?
For me.
If it is not for you, the Lord wouldn't be emphasizing it. The Lord wouldn't be saying it. It is for you. I want you to accept it. Accept it. I love what he mentioned. In the days of milk of God's word, one of the things you take out of it, the Lord began to say it too. This is another confirmation because yesterday I was with Mommy Helen and we were talking. And she mentioned the same thing. Now, that same week, I didn't tell my wife. The Lord, I remember I was waiting. The Lord began to tell me that my word has to be taken seriously. The way you took my word seriously in the days of milk. You have to take even this one seriously. In fact, he went further and said, when I speak to you a word, that is when I not just from the scripture, not just doctrine, when I speak to you personally, you have to honor it. I was surprised. Mommy began to say the same thing while we were talking with her. And then my wife was saying that was exactly what the Lord, was telling her that she was sharing in the women's prayer meeting that they have every Saturday morning. Exactly the same thing. And I knew this is something the Lord wants us to. I know where the Lord is going to is that he wants us to take the words we are hearing concerning everlasting life. Seriously. The way we took the milk of God's word. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. This one, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah, you're blessed. How many of us are blessed? I want it to be very, very clear. And it to become very clear. So I want to ask us again, if you have question, please, just quickly write down your question. And then let it come to the Sunday school secretary, please. Let it get to him. It will enable us. We'll be able to tie up the loose ends and make sure that understanding gets to everybody concerning everlasting life. Amen. Let's thank God this morning. Let's appreciate the Lord.
By the new and living way.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909-054-2599. You can also contact us by WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you.
Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated for the Virgin.